Vikram and the Vampire, Classic Hindu Tales of Adventure, Magic and Romance by Richard Burton. Preface. The Batal Pachisi, or 25 Tales of a Baital, is the history of a huge bat, vampire, or evil spirit which inhabited and animated dead bodies. It is an old and thoroughly Hindu legend composed in Sanskrit, and is the germ which culminated in the Arabian Nights, and which inspired the Golden Ass of Apuleius, Boccaccio's Decameron, the Pentameron, and all that class of facetious fictitious literature. The story turns chiefly on a great king named Vikram, the King Arthur of the East, who in pursuance of his promise to a jogi or magician, brings to him the Baital, vampire, who is hanging on a tree. The difficulties King Vikram and his son have in bringing the vampire into the presence of the jogi are truly laughable. And on this thread is strung a series of Hindu fairy stories, which contain much interesting information on Indian customs and manners. It also alludes to that state, which induces Hindu devotees to allow themselves to be buried alive and to appear dead for weeks or months, and then to return to life again, a curious state of mesmeric catalepsy, into which they work themselves by concentrating the mind and abstaining from food, a specimen of which I have given a practical illustration in the life of Sir Richard Burton. The following translation is rendered peculiarly valuable and interesting by Sir Richard Burton's intimate knowledge of the language. To all who understand the ways of the East, it is as witty and as full of what is popularly called chaff as it is possible to be. There is not a dull page in it, and it will especially please those who delight in the weird and supernatural, the grotesque, and the wild life. My husband only gives 11 of the best tales, as it was thought the translation would prove more interesting in its abbreviated form. Isabel Burton. Introduction. The sage Bhavbhuti, Eastern teller of these tales, after making his initiatory and propitiatory conge to Ganesha, Lord of Incepts, informs the reader that this book is a string of fine pearls to be hung round the neck of human intelligence, a fragrant flower to be borne on the turban of mental wisdom, a jewel of pure gold, which becomes the brow of all supreme minds, and a handful of powdered rubies, whose tonic effects will appear palpably upon the mental digestion of every patient. Finally, that by aid of the lessons inculcated in the following pages, man will pass happily through this world into the state of absorption, where fables will be no longer required. He then teaches us how Vikramaditya the Brave became king of Ujjayini. Some 19 centuries ago, the renowned city of Ujjayini witnessed the birth of a prince to whom was given the gigantic name Vikramaditya. Even the Sanskrit-speaking people, who are not usually pressed for time, shortened it to Vikram, and a little further west it would infallibly have been docked down to Vik. Vikram was the second son of an old king Gandharbasena, concerning whom little favorable has reached posterity, except that he became an ass, married 4 queens, and had by them 6 sons, each of whom was more learned and powerful than the other. It so happened that in course of time the father died. Thereupon his eldest heir, who was known as Shank, succeeded to the carpet of rajaship and was instantly murdered by Vikram, his scorpion, the hero of the following pages. 15. By this act of vigor and manly decision, which all younger brother princes should devoutly imitate, Vikram, having obtained the title of Bur, or the Brave, made himself Raja. He began to rule well, and the gods so favored him that day by day his dominions increased. At length he became lord of all India, and having firmly established his government, he instituted an era, an uncommon feat for a mere monarch, especially when hereditary. The steps, 16, says the historian, which he took to arrive at that pinnacle of grandeur, were these. The old king, calling his 2 grandsons Bhartarihari and Vikramaditya, gave them good counsel respecting their future learning. They were told to master everything, a certain way not to succeed in anything. They were diligently to learn grammar, the scriptures, and all the religious sciences. They were to become familiar with military tactics, international law, and music, the riding of horses and elephants, especially the latter, the driving of chariots, and the use of the broadsword, the bow, and the mogdars or Indian clubs. They were ordered to be skillful in all kinds of games, in leaping and running, in besieging forts, in forming and breaking bodies of troops. They were to endeavor to excel in every princely quality, to be cunning in ascertaining the power of an enemy, how to make war, to perform journeys, to sit in the presence of the nobles, to separate the different sides of a question, to form alliances, to distinguish between the innocent and the guilty, to assign proper punishments to the wicked, to exercise authority with perfect justice, and to be liberal. The boys were then sent to school, and were placed under the care of excellent teachers, where they became truly famous. Whilst under pupillage, the eldest was allowed all the power necessary to obtain a knowledge of royal affairs, and he was not invested with the regal office till in these preparatory steps he had given full satisfaction to his subjects, who expressed high approval of his conduct. The two brothers often conversed on the duties of kings, when the great